Good morning. We welcome you to our worship service here this morning. Thank you for joining us online as we come together into worship. Even though we are not all here together like we normally are, we're here. We're together, and we have the opportunity to worship together. So we have been doing this sermon series on questions that Jesus asked. This morning, we were originally supposed to have Pat Klein come and speak to us from Vision Beyond Borders. And when he came, we cut one of those sermons that we had in the series. And I don't think it's any coincidence that the sermon that we cut that we need to add back in was the question that Jesus asked, which one of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life? If you have your Bible this morning, take that turn to Luke chapter 12. We'll be looking at verses 15 through 32 here in just a moment. If you're like me and you grew up in church, you probably heard people say to you that Christians shouldn't worry, that we really have nothing to worry about, and not to worry about the things that happen in this life. Well, that's really only partially true. You know, we are living in a time of worry. We're living in a time when some around us are even panicking. We live in a fearful world, and we look around, and there's lots of things that people are worrying about. We realize that in our world, honestly, everything can be gone in a moment. Our health, our families, our homes, our jobs, our retirement, our freedom, our economy, our country, it can all be gone in a moment. But today's message contains a promise, a real promise. We don't have to worry. We do not have to worry. If we're storing up the proper treasures, if we're really, truly seeking and serving our God, and if we are seeking His kingdom, then and only then can we live a life maybe with still some concerns, but a life where we don't have to worry. As we look at this passage, we look at the question that Jesus asked, which one of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life? Why are we worried? Can we really be concerned and not worry? Can we do that? Can we look and see how maybe we can not worry but best minister in the world that is struggling? Can we look and see how do we really influence people's lives and point people to hope and not contribute to the worry in our world? These are questions not just for today, but these are questions that we should ask ourselves every single day. So Jesus asked a question. He asked a question. Does worrying add a single hour to your life? But as he asked that question was a response. That question was a response to somebody who made a request. In verse 13 of chapter 12, it says, someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me." That request was made. The request said, "Jesus, can you tell my brother to do this?" And this request revealed the person's heart. He had a heart that was focused on him, and Jesus challenged a different perspective. And he said that this person here had the wrong priorities, and he had the wrong attitude, and there was a lack of trust. And that's what we're going to look at this morning. How do we live in this world and not worry? Let's read together Luke chapter 12, verses 15 through verses 34. Then he said to them, "Beware and be on your guard against every form of greed. Do not even... when one has an abundance, does one's life consist of his possessions?" And he told them a parable, saying, "The land of a rich man was very productive. And he began reasoning to himself, saying, 'What shall I do, since I have no place to store my crops?' Then he said, 'This is what I will do. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones. And there I will store all my grains and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, you have many goods laid up for many years to come. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this very night your soul is required of you, and now you will own what you have prepared. So is the man who stores up treasures for himself and is not rich toward God.' And he said to his disciples, 'For this reason I say to you, do not worry about your life as to what you will eat, or your body as to what you will put on. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothing. Consider the ravens, they neither sow nor reap. They have no storeroom nor barn, and yet God feeds them. How much more valuable are you than the birds? And which of you by worrying can add a single hour to his lifespan? If then you cannot do even a very little thing, why do you worry about other matters? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. But I tell you, not even Solomon in all his glory clothed himself like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass in the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown in a furnace, how much more will he clothe you, you men of little faith? And do not seek what you will eat or what you will drink, and do not keep worrying. For all these things the nations of the world eagerly seek, but your Father knows what you need these things. But seek his kingdom, and these things will be added to you. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has chosen gladly to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give them to charity. Make for yourself money belts, which do not wear out, an unfailing treasure in heaven, where no thief comes nor moth destroy. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So, why do we worry? Jesus says that he wants us to look at things from the right perspective. He says, beware. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. He says, a man's life doesn't just consist of his abundance, and it doesn't just consist of his possessions. And then he tells this great parable that we just read in verses 16, where he says, and he said, the parable saying, the land of a rich man was very productive. And he began reasoning to himself, saying, what shall I do since I have no place to store the crops? Then he said, this is what I will do. I will tear down my barns, build larger ones, and there I'll store all my grain and goods. And I'll say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for yourself for years to come. Take ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said, you fool, this very night your soul is required of you, and now you will own what you have prepared. So the man who stores up treasure himself is not rich toward God. We worry because our priorities are wrong. We have the wrong preparation. See, this man was making insufficient preparation for his life. His life was busy. He was busy pursuing the comforts of life, and he gave no thought to God whatsoever. He was accumulating more stuff. And as he accumulated more stuff, he said, I have to have places to put my stuff. And as he's looking for places to put his stuff, he's accumulating more and more and more. And some of us kind of know what that looks like, right? Sometimes in our homes, we get too much stuff and we accumulate stuff. I remember when I left college and I moved into the town where I was going to live with Rebecca and we got married, I moved everything that I owned in a minivan. That was the sum of my possessions. And then we moved to Wyoming 20-some years ago, and we had the biggest Ryder truck you could buy to move all of our possessions. And if I moved again, I'd have to sell some stuff just to get stuff to fit back into that Ryder truck. We accumulate stuff for ourselves. And it's not about the stuff. It's about where our heart is. See, I do think that it's important to plan. I don't think Jesus is saying here that you can't plan. Plan for your needs. It's okay to plan for your future. But here's the deal. It's never okay to accumulate stuff. It's never okay to take the stuff and not care about what's happening around you. It's never okay to do stuff and not respond to people around you. It's never okay to look at all the stuff that we can gather and accumulate for our stuff and build these storehouses and totally ignore God in our life. In this parable, God called the man a fool. He had amassed great wealth, but he was poor because he had no relationship with God. Oswald Sanders says, nothing is wrong in seeking great things, but it is wrong to seek great things for yourself. You see, his preparation was incomplete. His plan was incomplete. He had a vision for great things, but his vision was short-sighted. He was ill-prepared to see the great things truly happen. See, this is a time in our world and a time in our life where we really can prepare for great things. I believe great things can happen, but they happen because we focus on God and we focus on loving others. At this time, ask ourselves the question, how would God really have us to live? What can we do for someone else? Are we sitting here in survival mode and ignoring a world around us? Are we living with a me-first mentality? Or are we truly seeking about how we can look and see what's going on around us and how we can help others? See, Jesus reminds us here the need to remember God, the source of all of our blessings, the source of all that we have. God wants us to invest in things that have eternal value, not things that are going to go away. We must invest our life and our talents and our knowledge in the work of his kingdom. Live life in the light of eternity, and then we'll be greatly blessed. And then we will see real rewards, and then we will live a life of faithfulness. All the farmer has, it's not going to go to him. He's going to end his life with none of this stuff. See, life without God is meaningless. Life without God doesn't get us anywhere. See, man thinks he can find true fulfillment in this world, just like the farmer. If I can just get plenty of good things, if I can just have a good time, if my life is good here, if things look good, then I'm going to be okay. And then, like the farmer, we say, then I can take it easy. I can eat, drink, and be merry. But Jesus says that's not fulfillment. Those things are not going to make you happy. Those aren't what you need in life. Jesus says this, a true relationship with God is what we need. And security in life does not rest in our stuff. Security in life does not rest in what we have. It doesn't rest in how well we think we're taken care of. True security in life rests in a relationship with God. In 1923, a group of world's most successful financiers met at Edgewater Beach Motel in Chicago. Collectively, these men had more wealth than the United States Treasury. And many of the newspapers and magazines, they printed their success stories. And they put them up and they said, if you just do what these men did, that you can have success. And these were an example for the world. But let me tell you the rest of their story. Charles Schwab, the president of the largest independent steel company, a company that my father actually worked for, lived on borrowed money the last 5 years of his life. And he died penniless. Richard Whitney was the president of the New York Stock Exchange, and he served time in prison. Albert Fall, the member of the president's cabin, was pardoned from prison so he could die at home. Jesse Livermore, the greatest bear in Wall Street, committed suicide. Leon Frazier, the president of the Bank of the International Settlement, committed suicide. Ivor Kruger, the head of the world's greatest monopoly, committed suicide. We could list modern examples of people that seem to have everything in life, and everything is going well. People like Michael Jackson, Lindsay Lohan, Tiger Woods, celebrities that we see that seem to have everything, and they seem that they're making a fine living, but none of them learned how to live. And each of their worlds came crashing down because they set for themselves wrong goals. See, God wants to bring us a new perspective. The farmer won't live to see the harvest of his crops. The farmer wasn't even going to live long enough to see the barns built to hold the crops. The farmer wasn't going to live long enough to see the next day. But that was the goals that he had. His plans would never be fulfilled. This man had goals assuming that he would be around for a long time to enjoy all of his wealth, not knowing that this day was his very last day. And we don't know when our very last day is. James 4, 13 and 14 says, come, now you who say today or tomorrow, we will go to such a city and spend a year there and engage in business and make a profit. You do not know what your life will be like tomorrow. You are just a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. See, there was a story of a pastor one time, and he was invited into the home of a very wealthy rancher. And after they had dinner together, the host takes him to this big window that he has that oversees everything and can view all the surrounding areas. And this rancher points out the oil wells in front of him and he says, 25 years ago, I had nothing. Now, as far as you can see, it's all mine. And looking in another direction, he saw the sprawling fields and he says, that's all mine as well. And looking towards the other side, he sees a huge herd of cattle and he says, all those cattle belong to me. And then he points to another direction and he sees the beautiful prairie and he says, this is all mine too. And as he sits there visiting with his pastor, he's expecting the pastor to praise this man's great work and coming from nothing and earning all this stuff. But the pastor pauses and looks at the man and puts his hand on his shoulder. They didn't practice good social distancing, put his hand on his shoulder. And he says to them, he says, I have a question. He pointed up and he said, how much have you invested in that direction? How much have you invested in your eternal direction? And the man stares blankly for a moment, hangs his head, and says, I've never thought of that. See, too many times we're living our world and we're living our life and we're not really thinking about eternity and doing things there. See, there are several stories like this throughout Scripture. You remember the story of the rich young ruler who comes to Jesus and he says, what can I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus says, sell all you have, give it to the poor, and come follow me. And what does the man do? He turns and he walks away and he says, I can't do that. My possessions are more important than Jesus. Or how about the story of the rich man and Lazarus? The rich man spent his days in his fancy house eating all the food he wanted. He had expensive clothing and furniture. He had servants to wait on him hand and foot. He was living and enjoying all that he had. And then one day he wakes up, and you know the story? He wakes up apart from God. He wakes up in hell, eternally separated from God. And he would have traded everything that he had if he could have just done it over again and turned and walked with our God. So what do these men have in common? They're too focused on having a good time in this life to realize and to prepare for the next one. In Matthew 16:26, Jesus says, and what do you benefit if you gain the whole world but lose your own soul? Is anything worth more than your soul? See, this farmer in the scripture thought that he was going to take it easy, have a great time for years to come. But he found out too late that he didn't have what he needed the most, a relationship with God, because his priorities were wrong. And then we worry because our attitudes are wrong. Let's look at verses 22 through 25. And he said to his disciples, for this reason I say to you, do not worry about your life as to what you will eat, nor your body as to what you will put on. For life is more than food, and your body more than clothing. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap. They have no storeroom nor barn, and yet God feeds them. How much more valuable are you than the birds? And which of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? So we have sometimes an attitude of worry because of an attitude that is self-centered. See, Jesus tells the crowd not to worry about daily necessities. He says not to worry about these because worrying accomplishes nothing. What does worry even matter? He says it doesn't do anything for us. He reminds us that God already knows what we need, and so we worry about things that God already knows and that God has already provided. And Jesus tells us that our anxiety over stuff is foolish because life is more than what we eat. Life is more than what we put on, and life is more than what we possess. How many of us have been anxious during the last couple of weeks? How many of us have been questioning what the future is going to look like? How many of us maybe have even, in part of our brain, started questioning God? God, what are you doing during this time? Why do we do this? Because we're looking inward, and our focus is inward. It's what we naturally do. When things go on around us that we can't, we naturally look at ourselves and we become inwardly focused. It's the let's take care of me attitude. But do we truly believe that we have a God who values us? Do you believe that you are valuable to God? Because if we believe that we are valuable to God, then we can trust in Him. But too often, we're short-sighted. And too often, we have a short-sighted view of God's love for us. Ultimately, no matter what happens in this world, we know that we can belong to Him. Ultimately, no matter what happens in this world, we know we can live for Him, and we know that God loves us. An attitude that is short-sighted. In Luke 12:24-25, Jesus advises them not to worry about these earthly possessions, and He says, look at the ravens. He says, look at them. You walk outside and you notice the birds, and I promise you, if you walk outside, you'll notice that the birds, they're not spending much time worrying. You know, the birds aren't looking around saying, what's going on in the world? They have no worry. They are not in panic right now. They're just living their life. They have no ability to fill storerooms for themselves, but God is taking care of every single one of their needs. Look, I'm not opposed to planning. I think that planning is important. I have walked through grocery stores. I have spent some time almost every day walking through a grocery store and gathering things that either I need as a family or gathering things that maybe somebody else might need that I can just put away. And we have stuff available if there's things that people need. I'm not above planning, but I can plan and still trust God. I'm not planning because I don't think God's in control. We can do that and still trust God. But here's the thing, I can't hoard and say that I trust God. I can't have stuff for me while others do without and say that I still trust God. Jesus points out in verse 25, and this is the question of our text. He says, worrying is foolish. It accomplishes nothing. It can't change a single situation that we're in. Jesus says it doesn't add even a moment to your life. He says, stop. Jesus says, if you are a believer in me, stop worrying and follow me. We need to stop having the wrong attitude and fully trust in God, because worrying does show a lack of trust. We can trust in our God today. God's going to meet needs that we have today. In verses 26 through 29, Jesus says, if then you cannot do even a very little thing, why do you worry about other matters? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. But I tell you, not even Solomon in all of his glory clothed himself like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown in the furnace, how much more will he clothe you, you men of little faith? And do not seek what you will eat or what you will drink, and do not keep worrying. Just as the lilies, God takes care of us. We can rely on him. This really illustrates the helplessness of man. You know, there are many things in this life that we can't affect one way or another by worrying. And the implication here is that worrying about food and clothing, it doesn't even guarantee we're going to have them. Worrying about it doesn't mean that they're going to come. And he says, so consider. Look at the lilies of the field. God provides for them. Won't he also provide for you? Look, this is an example of not only God's ability, but his willingness to provide. Just like the birds, he provides for the lilies and he provides for us. He says, look how they grow. They don't toil. They don't work. They just grow because God provides for them. No human agency does anything for them. He says, the glory surpasses all of even Solomon and all of his glory because of God's care. Will not God do as much for us? If God is able to clothe the grass of the field, will he not do it for us? He is not only able, but God is willing to do that. We are created in the image of God, not the birds of the air, not the lilies of the field. We are created in the image of God. We are the ones who are designed to spend eternity with God. We're the ones that God sent Jesus to die on a cross for. We are the love of his life. God says, I have come to give you life and to give it to you abundantly. And if we worry about these things, then we show that we have little faith. We show that we have little faith in our God. We have little faith in God's promise to care for us, and we have little faith in God's power to deliver that promise. Now, let me say this. This isn't an excuse to be lazy. This isn't an excuse to just go do nothing and say, well, God is just going to provide for me. Jesus isn't saying that we should just lay around the house and do nothing, and there's lots of other passages that say that. He's not saying that if you just sit in your couch that somebody's going to bring you food, even though somebody might. He's not saying that you don't have to do anything for yourself. He's not saying don't prepare, but what he's saying is you do those preparations with trust. And you're trusting God to meet those daily needs. And you're trusting God that he's going to make a way for those needs to be met. See, we have a God as our Heavenly Father who knows our needs, and we need to trust in him. Stop focusing on just today. And we need to begin focusing long term. We really need to think as Christians about eternity. Jesus said, stop worrying, because that's what the world does. In verse 30, he says, for all these things the nations of the world eagerly seek, but your Father knows that you need these things. Look, the lost world is worried because they're lost. The lost world has no hope because they don't know Jesus. We have that. The world is seeking these things. The world is seeking answers. The world has no hope. Stop living like the world. God knows your needs. And God wants you to share, not worry, with the world, because there's enough worry in our world. God wants us to share hope with the world, because our world does not need more worry. Our world needs more hope. And that hope is in a relationship and a person in Jesus. We are created to pursue this relationship with God. Riches and sin never satisfy. God does. Seek the kingdom of God above all, and he will give you everything you need. I'm going to share with you an illustration. This is an illustration that I stole. It's not one of my own, but I want you to look at this rope that I have here. Now, as you look at this rope that we have here, I want you to imagine, as this rope is here and you're sitting in your homes, imagine this rope is longer than it is. And this rope will run down your hallway and it goes outside your front door. And imagine that this rope, as it goes outside your front door, it makes its way around our world, and it wraps itself all around the world, and then it moves into space. And it goes into space, and it goes around our galaxy, and then it continues to move on and continues to wrap itself around galaxy after galaxy after galaxy. This rope represents your timeline, your time that you're going to exist. And on this rope, there's this little piece of red. This piece of red represents your time on this earth. This represents what we're worried about today. But yet the rope, the rest of this, is the rest of our life that goes out around our world and around our galaxies and on and on and on. And we spend more time focused on this little piece than on eternity. Trust God with this so that we can live with Him for eternity. See, are we so focused on today? Are we so focused on now that we forget about eternity? Are we so focused about what we have that we realize that there are people all around us that have a bigger worry? And that worry is an eternity apart from Jesus? We need to share the hope of the gospel with our world. And we have an opportunity to do that. Let's look at these last couple verses just briefly. In verses 33, it says, "Sell your possessions, give to charity, make for yourself money belts that do not wear out, an unfailing treasure in heaven which no thief comes near nor moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. How we respond in our world today tells us where our heart is. It tells us what we value. Where is our treasure? Where is our heart? And what do we really care about? Do we care about living for God? Do we care about our relationship with Him? Or do we care about our stuff? In our world today, the things that are happening today, our response will be evident. We will know where your treasures are by what we do and how we respond. We're going to come to a time of invitation, a time where we can come and we can respond to what God may be saying to you. Normally in a church service, we have people come down front. If you want to come to the front of your TV, I guess you can do that. But I want to ask you to truly consider the question and consider your response. What does God have for you this morning?